This is the time of year when we pass out ballots in order to get feedback from the congregation about possible additional elders and deacons, and it is our church constitutional responsibility to lay things out in terms of qualifications for elders and deacons. Pastor Paul and I decided to do a little bit more of an extensive study on church leadership, and so he undertook the task of dealing with apostles and prophets. Apostles in that capital A sense, although not technically capital A, are an extraordinary office, temporary office. Ephesians 2:20 says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And if it will aid you, I have four S's by which I remember how to distinguish a prophet, or rather an apostle, in that special foundational sense. They had seen the risen Christ, 1 Corinthians 9. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Christ Jesus our Lord? They've seen the risen Christ. They were sent by Christ. Remember, Pastor Paul taught that an apostle of Christ is one. Apostolos means a sent one. They were sent by Christ. Apostle little a are messengers of the churches. They're sent by churches, but they were sent by Christ. So they'd seen the risen Christ. They've been sent by Christ. What's a third S? The signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, the signs of an apostle were performed among you. They did miraculous signs to authenticate their position, their authority. And I think the fourth S is they have spiritual authority over all the churches. Paul could say, as I teach in all the churches. Pastor Paul and I can't say that. We're authorized to teach you because you have recognized us as overseers of this flock, but we don't go out dictating for other churches. An apostle had authority over all the churches that was given to him by Christ. So those four S's help me anyway to remember what is unique about an apostle. And then Pastor Paul did the heavy lifting of undertaking what is a prophet. And we're not going to go back into those weeds. He did a great job, and I think we're trying to do our best to understand with the data that we have. One text I will add, though, not to open up any can of worms or debate, but it does say, you know how Ephesians 2:20 says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 3:5 says, talking about the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known as to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed, special revelation from heaven to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So at least in that context, the prophets were those who received revelation about the formerly hidden mystery about Christ and, you know, his role with the Gentiles, etc. Now, we covered it more extensively, and we'll leave it with that. We took you about as far as we could go. But now we're going to move from what the old Puritans called the extraordinary offices to the ordinary offices in the church, in particular that of elder or pastor teacher. You know Ephesians 4:11. He, the ascended Christ, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. He gave some as evangelists. I would understand that to be our modern missionaries. Are they in ordinary office? I would say so, because we still need to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Who's going to carry the gospel to virgin territory? Like our brother Caleb Jabello is going into a tribe where, to his understanding, they haven't had the gospel. So there are still virgin territories. There's still need for the gospel to press into those areas. To me, they would be the evangelists that are still carrying the euangelion to people. But then what do you do once people are evangelized? Well, they need to be cared for, and that's the place of the resident pastor teacher. So we're going to talk about, from now on, for the next 3 weeks, about this ordinary office, which I'll show you is elder, overseer, shepherd. They are synonyms. That's something we'll get to today. But I want to start with the background of the Old Testament. There's Old Testament history behind the New Testament spiritual leadership. And the concept that was rooted in Israel is that of elders. There were elders in Israel. And if you look at your notes, oh, you don't have much. I have it all here. I'll look at my notes. You just have a blank because I didn't want to major too much on this. So if you want to write furiously, you may. It is commonly thought that the elder of the New Testament was borrowed from the synagogue. It's hard to know. But one thing distinct from the Jewish synagogue in the first century and the New Testament church is that the synagogue appeared to have one ruler. Somebody quickly look up Acts 8, 18, 8 and 17. And Pat, you got that in the back? And read that nice and loudly when you get it. Acts 18, 8 and 17. You'll see here and elsewhere, the synagogue had one chief ruler, which as we'll see is not the pattern for the New Testament leadership. You got that, Pat? Yes. Yes.
And Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Centuria, he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews.
Oh, is that chapter 17?
No, verse 18. You want verse 17?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant 17, Pat. Thank you.
18?
No, just 17. I'm getting 18, chapter 18, verse 17. Sorry.
And they also called the judgment seat, but Galileo was not concerned about any of these things.
Okay. Well, all right, look, 18:8 talks about the ruler of the synagogue. We'll should have rested with that, should have quit with that verse. And elsewhere. There was one ruler of the synagogue, and we'll see that's not true of the New Testament eldership. So it's hard to know where the New Testament eldership originated, but we know that in the Old Testament, the Council of Elders was one of Israel's oldest institutions. Now, let me farm out some verses here, and I'll assign you in to read them. Somebody volunteer to look up Exodus 4:29. I just need a hand. Pastor Paul and Jeff, if you would take Exodus 19:17, somebody else Deuteronomy 19:11 and 12, Alex, thank you, and Deuteronomy 22:13 and 19, Nathan, thanks. Okay, we have. Well, I'm not sure if that's Deuteronomy. Okay, Exodus 4:29.
Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel.
All right. Very early on, before they left Egypt, there were elders of the sons of Israel. Elders were recognized as leaders over the people of Israel. Israel's elders are mentioned 100 times in the Old Testament. They are elders of the people. Exodus 19:7. Did I give that? Okay, so that's simply called, they're called elders of the people. So they were representatives of the people. In the land of promise, when they were brought there by God, each city, each tribe, and the whole nation had a council of elders with authority. They had authority in civil matters, in domestic matters, and religious matters to protect the people, to exercise discipline, and to enforce the law of God and administer justice. Here are a couple of samples of the authority of the elders, Deuteronomy 19:11 and 12.
But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, and strikes him mortally, so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of this city shall send and bring him from there, deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die.
Okay, you see, the elders served in judicial cases, in civil matters, to judge cases. And then here's a case of, that was a case of murder. Here's everything from murder to domestic problems. Murray, Deuteronomy 22. Oh, I'm sorry, it was Nathan. Start at 13 and 19.
Near her is not under evidence. father of the young man and the father shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city and the gate. And the father of the young man shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to the man to marry, and behold, he is a future of conduct. I did not find her in your daughter. I did not find in your daughter evidence of virginity. And yet, this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And the pregnant close before the elders of the city, so the elders of the city shall take the man and give him. And he shall find him 100 shekels of silver and lose them to the father of the young man, because he has brought a bad name upon the virgin of Israel.
Okay, that's simply to give an illustration of how the elders had authority in judicial matters dealing with everything from murder to domestic problems. They were men of counsel and wisdom. You may remember in 1 Kings 12, Rehoboam neglected the counsel of the elders who had counseled his father, and that was a big misstep, and it ended up in Israel being divided. 1 Kings 12:8 says, but he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. That was not a good move. The elders were esteemed as men of wisdom. Psalm 119:100, David says, I understand more than the aged. Well, that could be elders, but elders were put in that position partly because they were older, and age is supposed to equate to wisdom. All the Jewish elders in the Gospels and Acts are associated with the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Court in Israel, made up of elders, chief priests, and scribes. They were part of the non-priestly nobility. So we have this leadership in the Old Testament of God's people, the eldership. And of course, we read of them in the context of the Gospels and the New Testament. Now, elders served as shepherds of the people. First of all, we have the shepherd motif in the well-known Psalm 23, 1 to 6. And let's just read. That's very familiar. Many of us could quote it. Just as an introduction to New Testament leadership, let's just quickly read the psalm and pull out some features of shepherds. What do shepherds do? This is, of course, the Lord as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What are some things that the Lord, as shepherd, does for his people, his sheep? Sandy. Nourishes, feeds them, he leads them, feeds them, he leads them, he guides them, protects them, restores them. Anything else? He disciplines them. You see that in the psalm there?
The rod and the staff.
Yeah, sometimes, don't shepherds have to sometimes break the leg of a wayward sheep? So, yeah, just a preliminary sense of the Lord is the great shepherd of his people, and he does them good in all of these ways. Now, in the Old Testament, who were two great leaders that were given a shepherdly function? And I'll supply texts for that. Any guess? David. Yes. And? Moses, yeah. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 70. He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes with suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So David was taken from being a literal shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of God's people. And then Moses, where is that? 2 Samuel 7. 7? That's not it. I didn't get the right text. Yeah, wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? No, that's not. Hold on. Isaiah 63:11. Then his people remembered the days of old, of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Okay, Moses and David were shepherds of God's people, but both of them failed. How did they fail? What were their sins? What was Moses' sin? Struck the rock. Well, yeah, he struck to the rock rather than speak to the rock. He was forbidden to go into the land of promise. He wasn't a perfect shepherd. David, man after God's own heart, but committed sin with Bathsheba, murder. So these were shepherds of Israel, but they were not perfect shepherds. Well, turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is speaking of the leaders in Israel, presumably the elders. And notice the motif under which they are spoken. I'm going to read a lengthy passage, and I want you to cull out, as you did with Psalm 23, what are some of the features, some of the responsibilities of the elders of Israel. It's mostly in the negative. But listen, and you can jot down notes as to what the responsibility is of these leaders. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And from all we can tell, the shepherds would have been the elders. The elders were the leaders in Israel. Here they are called shepherds. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too light a thing for you that you should feed in the good pastures, or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet? As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet and drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Rich, long passage on the shepherdly duty of elders. What are some of the things they're supposed to do and we're failing to do? Murray?
I think you could preach a great sermon taking Psalm 23 and then plucking out of Psalm 23 all the things that they are assigned to do, didn't do, and God will do.
Yes. Yeah.
You can see all the echoes. Mm-hmm.
There's a three-point sermon right there, right? What they're supposed to do, what they fail to do, what God himself will do. And what are some of those particulars? They're kind of right on the surface. They're, as Lenny would say, they're gemstones right on lying on the surface of the beach. You don't have to dig for them. Protection. Feeding. Leading. Guiding. Same things from Psalm 23. What were they doing?
Praying on the sheep,
supposed to protect, and they're actually predators, feeding themselves rather than feeding. And notice, what are the sheep doing to each other? Notice that? Sheep are ramming each other, and shepherds supposed to not only take care of the sheep, but protect the sheep from other sheep who maybe aren't sheep, right? Or sheep who are mistreating other sheep. So that's part of the shepherd's function too, because shepherds beat up on sheep, but sheep beat up on sheep. So
even the restoring aspect of the finding and bringing back.
Yes, yes. And so what's the upshot? They're failing miserably. What's God going to do? He's going to provide. How? You catch some key words there. Who is going to shepherd his people? He is. And then there's his servant David. Who is the greater David? The son of David, the Lord Jesus. So now let's move to the New Testament and look at New Testament spiritual leaders. And let's start with that greater son of David, Jesus, as the good, great, and chief shepherd and overseer of our souls. Turn to John 10. Which you know is the rich passage on Jesus as the good shepherd. Here's the fulfillment of those promises made in Ezekiel 34. And let's just cull out a few verses. Well, yeah, as I look at each of these verses, I want to ask you, what is Jesus doing for his flock? John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What's he doing? He's sacrificing himself. He's caring for his sheep in the most ultimate way possible by laying down his own life for the sheep. 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. An intimacy, a knowledge of his sheep. 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What aspect of shepherding?
Leading,
guiding. 10:28. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What's he doing for his sheep there? Keeping them, protecting them. And moving out of there, John 6:35. And that whole passage where he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus as one who, what? Nourishes, feeds his sheep. So we see that Jesus takes comprehensive care of his sheep. He is the consummate shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. He failed. David was a shepherd, imperfect. The elders of Israel called to shepherd failed miserably. God finally sends the good shepherd, and he fulfills those shepherdly duties. Not only is he called the good shepherd, Hebrews 13:20 has another designation for Jesus, and that is, let's simply read it. I'm going to expound it. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, he's called the good shepherd, he's called the great shepherd. And what's his final designation in 1 Peter 5:4? Chief shepherd, yeah. And when the chief shepherd appears, he's exhorting the elders, and then he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. If there is a chief shepherd, what does that presuppose or assume? That there will be, some have called, under shepherds. If there's a chief shepherd, there must be those over whom he is chief. And then in 1 Peter 2:25, another designation of our Lord, which applies to New Testament leadership. For you were continually straying like sheep, Peter says, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Anybody know what that word guardian is? It says it on the paper? Oh, okay. Episkopos. Okay. I'm just asking if you can read, I guess. Episkopos, which is overseer, bishop, overseer. He's the shepherd and he's the bishop, overseer of your souls. Okay, now, let's talk about New Testament church leaders. First of all, New Testament leaders anticipated. We're going to talk about New Testament leaders anticipated, appointed, and then assigned. And most of their duties will take it up in another lesson because we have enough to cover here. But New Testament leaders anticipated. Here's a prophecy in Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying. Here's another reflection of what Ezekiel was saying. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. You see the anticipation, not only of raising up David, Jesus, but also shepherds, plural. You see that in verse 4? I will raise up shepherds over them, anticipating the new covenant and those who would lead his people. And then anticipating New Testament leadership, we have Matthew 9:36 and following. The Lord Jesus, as he moves among the people of Israel in that apostate age where they were led by Pharisees and Sadducees who were more like the predators of Ezekiel 34. And what did it do to the heart of the Lord Jesus? Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, if the good and great shepherd looks at people as shepherdless sheep and is moved with compassion, he says, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers, workers. What do you think those workers are going to be? Shepherds, right? The good shepherd sees shepherdless sheep and he says, pray for workers. I assume those workers would be shepherds. And in John 21, scenario that you know, before the Lord Jesus left the earth, beautiful passage in which he restored his errant disciple Peter. John 21, 15 to 17, you know the scene, Jesus had a coal fire going. Resurrected Lord calls them from the shore where he's got a coal fire going. He's cooking some fish. And was there significance to that fire of coal, you think? What happened not too long before then over a coal fire? That's where Jesus denied, warming his hands over the fire. He had denied the Lord. And so here in the context of another fire of coal where Jesus is serving breakfast. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd, poimeno, my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And we'll talk later about why it is that he says, feed, shepherd, feed. The word for feed is boskein, and it means only to feed. And twice he says feed, but in the middle he says poimeno, shepherd, because shepherding includes feeding. It probably has its primary idea feeding, but it is more than feeding, isn't it? The shepherd motif from Psalm 23, from Ezekiel 34, is more than feeding. It's leading and guiding and protecting and all those things, right? So I think there's some significance to the use of words here. Boskein, my sheep. Poimeno, my sheep. Bosko, my sheep. Again, all these anticipating New Testament leaders. An Old Testament statement where God's going to raise up shepherds. Jesus looking at shepherdless sheep and say, pray for workers. And Jesus saying to Peter, as one of the leaders in the church, feed, shepherd, feed my sheep. All right, let's come to more explicit references to New Testament leaders. We're going to look at their titles, their plurality, and their parity. New Testament leaders, their titles. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 20, and I'll ask somebody to read verse 17 and 28, and then we'll fill in those blanks. Murray, go ahead.
Acts 20:17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flocks, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
All right, how would you fill in the blanks? Paul gathers the who? The elders, he calls them, in verse 28, overseers, and he tells them to shepherd. You have three terms, two nouns and a verb, elders, overseers, shepherds. Is he talking to different groups of people? Same group of people. He's talking to the same group of men, they're elders. He says, God's made you overseers, and you overseers are to shepherd. Same group of men. The point is that these three terms are synonymous. They're synonymous terms. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4 also shows that. Another reader, 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4. Mark, thanks.
Yeah. more yet as Lord and over than the latter to the charge. Who will be the example of the Father? And the chief shepherd is, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Okay, so Peter exhorts the who? The elders. He tells them to, first of all, shepherd the flock, and to exercise oversight. Again, the same three terms. Elder, the verb shepherd, and the verb for oversee. And then he speaks of a chief shepherd, which implies that there are under shepherds. Okay. And you notice how, take a minute to just consider how does this contrast with the shepherds of Ezekiel 34? Several points of contrast.
Not for your own personal gain.
Yes, yes. They were feeding themselves. These are to shepherd and feed the flock. What else? Contrasts. How about the disposition with which, what are these elders not to do? Peter says, don't lord it over. Don't dominate them. What did the other shepherds do? They certainly, with force, they dominated the sheep. And then what's going to be their respective ends? God's going to feed those false shepherds with judgment. What do these elders get? An unfading crown of glory. They do well, right? So there's contrast there. Another passage is Ephesians 4:11, which I've already cited. It's speaking of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and in his ascension, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Probably the best way to take that together, like pastor teachers, pastors, shepherds, whose primary role it is to feed the flock or to teach. So there you have another reference to spiritual leaders. And then 1 Timothy 3:2 gives qualifications, and it says, an overseer then must be above reproach, husband of one wife, etc. And Titus 1:5 says, for this reason I left you in Crete to appoint elders, namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife. So in one place he calls them overseers, in another place he calls them elders. The simple point is, we're dealing with synonymous terms. So who am I? Who am I? My wife and I just went to Les Mis, and we enjoyed that in Philadelphia. I'm not going to sing it, though. Jean Valjean, who am I? Who am I? Who is Pastor Paul? I'm an elder. I'm an overseer. I'm a shepherd. All three, right? Different terms. Why different terms? Each one has a nuance of meaning. Murray?
Mention each of those nuances?
Yeah.
Well, certainly, as you said, pastor or shepherd, because those words are related, implies the feeding of the flock, overseeing as a more ruling aspect.
Yeah.
And elders, again, the leading or directing authority.
Okay. Elders has its roots in the Hebrew culture. Overseer, episkopos, is more rooted in Greek culture. And, of course, the church is combined of Greeks and elder and Jews. And elder bespeaks something of the maturity that is to characterize a man in that office, older men. Although Job says the abundant in years may not be wise, age is supposed to be associated with wisdom. So that bespeaks the wisdom needed for the office. Overseer, as Murray said, the general management of the flock, and then shepherd, pastor, is really, as we'll see in another week, the primary function of the overseer is to feed the flock. So now let's simply recognize the plurality. And I get, I'm probably teaching to the choir here, but let me farm out a lot of verses, and we're just going to go through them just to confirm to you that the norm in the New Testament is not a single elder, single pastor, single overseer system. It is a plurality. So please, some volunteers. Ladies, you may volunteer. Acts 20, verse 17. Just take 17. Ron, and then Joe or John? Joe, okay. Joe, take Acts 11:30, and Nathan, Acts 14:23, and a few verses there in Acts 15. Just read 2, 4, and 6. That'll be enough. Sandy, Acts 21:18. Jared, Titus 1:5. Again, okay. Thank you, Allison, and James 5:14. We'll, yeah, that'll do it. Alex, yeah, just read these. And what you want to look for is, when elders are mentioned, they're in the plural. Plural elders in each church. Okay.